Good morning. Well, this is a pretty good group for our topic, which if you looked at your homework, if you did your homework, you know our topic is submission today. Some women don't like that word, but I see you came anyway, so that's good. And what we want to do is look at Sarah's life as our example and learn about her. But before we do that, we want to just talk about what submission is. To put it very simply, which is what I need to do with most things so I can understand, it means to yield or surrender. Very simply, to yield or surrender. That's the word submit, submission, submissive, subject, whatever you want to call it. Simply yielding and surrendering. And this is what we did when we gave our lives to the Lord. And all those songs we sang today were really reinforcing that. That we came to the cross. We humbly came and we surrendered. We gave our lives over to the Lord and we submitted ourselves to His Lordship. So it's good to be reminded that His name is not Lord, that's His title, and it means something. It means Master. And we are in subject to Him. We have submitted our lives to Jesus' Lordship. And we didn't do that just one time when we gave our lives to Him and asked Him to come into our hearts. It's a daily thing. It's a continual thing to surrender to Him, to submit to Him. And it's no longer doing what I want to do, no longer doing what my flesh wants to do, but it's now doing what He wants me to do. It's obeying Him. It's living for Him and doing what He wants me to do. So when I open His Word and I read His commands there and He tells me what to do, then I submit to that, submit to His Lordship, and I obey Him, and then I simply do what He wants me to do. I say simply because it is simple. It's not easy, though, because you battle against your flesh. It'd be quite simple, quite easy, if we didn't have to deal with this stinking rotten flesh that we have. I don't know if you've noticed yours lately, but it stinketh. When I trust the Lord, when I believe Him and I trust Him and I obey Him and I yield to Him, I surrender to Him, I submit to Him, it's very freeing. It's a very freeing place to be. What bondage is when I fight against it, when I don't submit, when I want my way, when I know what He wants, He's told me to do something, and now I kick and I scream and I don't want to do it. That's not freeing, it's bondage, and it's really torment. There's no peace. But when I submit to Him, there's freedom. When I submit to Him, there's peace and there's security. There's that secure feeling that somebody that's smarter than me is in control of my life, which to me is a comfort. And then when I do submit to Him, I don't have to worry about all the what ifs. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm a what if person. You know, when you pack for a trip, well, what if? You know, so you end up having 14 suitcases. Because what if something happens? But when I trust the Lord and I submit to Him, I don't have to worry about what if they, what if she might, or they, or he, or whatever might happen, because it doesn't matter. I've submitted myself, my will to Him, and He will take care of all the details. He'll take care of all the circumstances, and I can rest in that. I can hide behind the Lord. I can know that He's my covering. That when someone maybe wants me to do something and the Lord doesn't want me to do it, instead of giving into the fear of man and saying I don't want to hurt their feelings, so I'll go ahead and do it anyway, I can hide behind the Lord. He's my covering. It's not me. It's the Lord. It's a very, very freeing and very comforting place to be. I can simply say, the Lord won't let me. And that's a nice place to be. Now, I need to remember that God is my Lord, my Master, and my life is His, and I'm in submission to Him in all things, in all ways. And I need to remember that in all areas of my life. So that when I read verses like this in 1 Peter that says, therefore submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether to the kings as supreme or to governors as to those who are sent by Him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of those who do good. For this is the will of God, that by doing good you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men as free, yet not using your liberty as a cloak for vice, but as servants of God. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be submissive to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the harsh. So if I read a verse like that and I remember that I am submitting to my Lord and Savior first, then when I read that I'm to submit to the authority over me, I'm to submit to the laws of the land, and as a slave or as an employee, I'm to submit to my boss or my employer, even if I don't agree with my boss, even if I don't agree with the police officer, I don't agree with the laws of the land, I don't agree with the government officials, it doesn't matter, because I'm submitting to the Lord. If I remember that, then it makes it easier on me. It's when I forget that I am supposed to submit to the Lord, and I'm looking at that person and thinking, I don't want to submit to you. You don't know what you're doing. This law is ridiculous, or whatever it might be. Now, I don't know about you, but my flesh does not like other people telling me what to do. Some people are more so than others like that. And I usually do pretty good, but once in a while, when I have to do something that I don't want to do, it really bothers me. And I remember the first time I got called for jury duty. Now, a lot of people love jury duty. It's an exciting thing for them. They love the whole process of it and everything. Not me. I'm changing. But that really bothered me, that I was going to be forced. I had no say. And, you know, all of a sudden, you just don't have any say, and now you have to submit to this law, this thing. I don't know about you, but that really bugged me. It doesn't bug me as much anymore, but when I remember that I'm submitting to the Lord and that He set up the authority structure, that He set up the government, He might not have chosen those people that are in there, but He has allowed it for a reason, and I am submitting to Him, then it makes it easier for me. And so then when I read in Hebrews 13, obey those who rule over you and be submissive, for they watch out for your souls as those who must give an account. Let them do so with joy and not with grief, for that would be unprofitable for you. When I read a verse like that, and maybe I don't agree with my pastor, I don't agree with my elder, I don't agree with those who are in authority over me in a church. But I submit anyway because I remember that I am submitting to the Lord first. And He has chosen those men to lead and guide and shepherd. So then it makes it easier for me. And when I read in Ephesians 5:21 that we should be submitting to one another in the fear of God, a mutual submission, and I disagree with my friend, I disagree with my coworker or my co-laborer, but when I remember that I'm submitting to the Lord first, then it makes it much easier to submit to you, because I see Jesus behind you and I am obeying Him. And then when I read Ephesians 5:22 that tells us, wives submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. And as a wife, I disagree with my husband in the decision that he's made. It doesn't matter, because I remember that I am submitting to my Lord. I am submitting to my Lord and Savior first. And he has commanded me to submit then to my husband. So it makes it easy, because I want to submit to him. Now, again, all of that sounds easy, right? And it would be if we didn't have to deal with this flesh that we have. Because if we could walk with the right attitude of heart and the right mindset, that my life is not mine, and I have submitted myself to the Lord, he is Lord, he is master, then I trust him. I trust him in all things. And so it doesn't matter if a man or a woman tells me to do a certain thing that I don't want to do or that I don't agree with. It's okay, because I've placed my life into the Lord's hands. And the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. So this must be what he has in mind for me, whether I know it or not. And if I have trouble with that, if I have a problem with submission, with submitting in whatever area it might be, you know, where you get a jury summons, or you get where you have to pay taxes on certain something, or, I mean, you know, people, we can get upset over all kinds of things, or a parent, or a friend, or a husband, or whoever it might be. When I find that I'm having trouble and I don't want to submit, then guess where the problem lies? With me, not with that person, not with that person at all. And maybe they are right, maybe they are wrong, but that doesn't matter. If I'm having trouble with it, it's me. And so how I need to deal with that is to get on my knees before the Lord and have him remind me I am in submission to him. He is my Lord, and that I need to trust him in that. So if there is a struggle in your heart today in the area of submission, whether it's with your husband or whoever it might be, the solution is to get on your knees before the Lord and ask him to deal with your heart, change your heart, your attitude. You'll be surprised at what happens. Now, just as a little side thing, if we are mothers here, and we'll get into more of our mothering things in the spring, but when I was thinking about this, I couldn't skip over this. If you're a mother, please teach your children submission. Teach them to obey. Teach them to respect. Teach them to be in submission to you, to their father, to those in authority over them. It will make their life so much easier as they get older. Now, you know you. If you were not raised in a godly home, if you weren't taught submission as a child, most likely you rebelled. We all have that rebellion in us anyway. But it makes it easier on them, and because they already are in subjection. They're already used to an authority over them. They're already used to obeying. So then, if you have daughters and they get married, it will be much easier for them to submit to their husbands, because they are already used to this. And I witness this with my own girls, and I don't say any of this to pat myself on the back at all. But they were taught to obey. Doesn't mean they did not rebel, and we'll get into that in the spring. And by the way, both of them have given me permission to share their lives with you if it helps in any way, so I'm not telling any secrets. But they were taught to obey. They were taught to be in subjection to their parents. And both of them got married young. I got married young. And there's different opinions about that, and it doesn't matter what they are. I'll give you mine on this one. There are positives. And one of them is, it is easier if because what I saw in my own life, it's easier to transfer that submission from your parents right over to your husband. Because you're just used to that. And I watched that in my girls, and that blessed me. Because when their father walked them down the aisle, and he gave them, you know, physically gave them to their husband, and he not only physically did, he verbally did, a little conversation there, gave them, he transferred that, and I watched my girls slip right into that covering of their husband and being submissive to them. And that is incredible, because there are a lot of women, some of us, who struggle with that, who kick and scream against that. And some of us are very strong-willed. I'm a very strong-willed person. And I don't like people telling me what to do, and, you know, that whole thing about being strong-willed, you know. And yet, because of love, which submission is an expression of love, it was easier for me to submit to my husband because I loved him. Because I loved him. Now, I also had a very strong-willed child. And if you were here with us for several years, I shared this a few years ago before Tyler got married. It was lots of years before she got married. She's very strong-willed, and again, I will share more about that with her permission in the spring. And I remember standing here thinking, and probably saying, what kind of a husband is she going to have? I mean, she's very strong-willed. And I thought, you know, you think she's either going to have this real tough guy, you know, okay, woman, you know, sit down kind of a thing. But I don't think that would have went over too big with her, with any of us. Or she's going to have somebody very, very strong, like her father, in a very quiet way. And I've seen that with both of them. Josh is a very gentle but very strong young man. Tyler is no less strong-willed than she was before, only under the control of the Holy Spirit. But I have watched, thinking, oh no, what is going to happen? Because she sets her mind to something, you know, that's it. And but I watched one day where she had her mind set kind of a thing, and she was going in that direction, and all he did was look at her and say, lovey. And she melted. And I thought, you know, that never worked with me. I'm the mother. That never worked with me. But praise the Lord. Submission is an expression of love. Teach your children that. So it'll be easier when that time comes for them to transfer that, especially your daughters, to their husbands. And in a God-honoring marriage, there is mutual submission. There is mutual respect because it's a loving relationship. Longfellow said, as unto the bow the cord is, so unto the man is the woman. Though she bends him, she obeys him. Though she draws him, yet she follows, useless with each without the other. And I like that. She bends him, and don't you bend your husband at times, but she obeys him. She draws him, yet she follows him. And that is mutual submission, and that is God's design for marriage. Now, if you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, some of you are thinking, well, that is fine and swell for you because you have a wonderful husband who loves you, and wonderful for your girls because your girls are nice and sweet and they've got wonderful little guys, and it's just, oh, you're just a little hunky-dory happy family. So it's easy for you. You don't live with my husband. I don't, which is good. But the Word of God has something to say for all wives. Verse 1, likewise, you wives, likewise, he had just got through talking about being submissive to the authorities over us. Be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct accompanied by fear, do not let your beauty be that of outward adorning, of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or of putting on fine apparel, but let it be the hidden person of the heart with the incorruptible ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. For in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and are not afraid with any terror. All wives are to submit to their husbands. It's God's authority structure. Whether your husband is the most wonderful, godly man around, or whether he is the biggest schmo there is, we are to submit to our husbands. So that even if some do not obey the word, so those who turn their backs on the Lord, those who don't know the Lord, those who are halfway obeying, halfway not obeying, this covers everybody. It covers all of us as wives. That we may, it says, without a word win our husbands over. Without a word. Now, you know women have lots of words. And I don't know what that difference is between how many words a woman speaks a day compared to a man, but it's a lot more. But God says without a word, we can win our husbands over by being submissive, by being meek, by being quiet. Submission is attractive. It's attractive. And your husband, no matter who he is, no matter where he is with the Lord, if you are a meek and quiet, have a gentle spirit, and you're submissive to him, he'll be drawn to that. And it doesn't mean that you all have to talk with such a quiet voice like that because you're meek and gentle. You know, some of us aren't. I am not one of those meek and quiet verbally. Hopefully I am in my heart. But our life is to be a witness of Jesus Christ, and that will draw our husbands to us. Again, it's very attractive. And it tells us that they trusted in God, and that is the bottom line here. You have to trust the Lord in your relationship as a wife. You have to trust Him that He knows what He's doing, and that even if you think it's not fair and why and all of that, you have to trust the Lord. You have to trust the Lord that you are in that relationship and that God's will for you to be in that relationship at this time and to be submissive to Him. Now, Proverbs 31:10-12 tells us, "Who can find a virtuous wife? For her worth is far above rubies, and the heart of her husband safely trusts her, so he will have no lack of gain. She does him good and not evil all the days of her life." The heart of her husband safely trusts in her. Now, a wife that is submissive to her husband, he's going to trust her because he's going to know that she's behind him, that she's that true helpmeet. She's behind him 100%. She's there backing him up, being his support. And that, again, to a man, is very attractive. God created us. He created man and he needed a helpmeet. He needs one. And you are it. So be that helper. Be that submissive wife to stand beside him, to stand behind him, to support him. Do him good and not evil. So a true helpmeet is one who will be with him and submit and obey, and then he can safely trust in her. Now, Sarah was not a perfect wife. I don't know any perfect wives. I don't know any perfect people. But she was a virtuous wife. And we first meet her in Genesis chapter 11, where she's introduced to us as Abraham's wife. And she was also barren. And to me, there are three lessons in this left in our study today with Sarah's life, there's three points of submission that I see, that I look at. And the first one is the big, what I call the big submission. That big decision the husband makes that I must submit to. The second one is the hard, or maybe not so kosher, submission, where the husband makes that very hard decision, that very maybe not so kosher decision that I submit to. And then the third is that everyday little tiny little thing submission. So the first one is in chapter 12. In verse 1, the Lord said to Abram, "Get out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Now, this to me is the first time we see Sarah, and this is the first big submission thing. The big decision that Abraham made. God told him to leave the country, leave the land, take his wife, go into this promised land that God was going to give him. So we see Sarah by her husband's side, leaving her country, leaving her family, leaving all the comforts of home, all the security, the surroundings, all of that. And she's with her husband, and she goes to a strange land with him. That's submission. She went with him. Not an easy thing to do. I don't know if your husband has ever said, "We're moving." Mine did. We came here. And that was not an easy thing for me to do. I avoided it for quite a while. He hadn't verbally said it. The Lord was speaking to my heart. And I avoided coming with him on Sundays for a while because he drove down for about 2 years from Napa before we moved here, because I figured when I come, the Lord's going to say, "You have to move." No, I don't want to move, so I don't want to hear it, so I'm not going to come. That's how I handled it at that time. But it was not an easy thing to do. I left everything. I left my mother. I left the comforts of home, a beautiful home, beautiful place to raise your children, and moved to Modesto. That was not an easy thing to do. I didn't describe Modesto when I said that. I could have said, you know, that was flat and all that stuff, but it was not easy. Now, I see this in Sarah's life. This is a huge act of submission, because had she not gone, or had she kicked and screamed along the way, that probably would have caused a problem in their marriage for the rest of their marriage, because there could have been that resentment there on Abraham's part or on her part, that anger, that bitterness, and there would have been strife if her response would have been, "I don't want to go," or "You go without me," or whatever it might be, whatever those things that we can say as women. But this was a huge thing, is a big decision. She backed her husband up. And that's what we need to do, is stand behind our husband in those big decisions, whether you agree with it or not. Now, if you are seeking the Lord, he'll speak to your heart. And we have an advantage, because if we humble ourselves before the Lord, we're in his hands. He's going to make everything work. He changed my heart in coming here. You know, I could have just resisted and kicked and screamed and, "No, I don't want to." But he got me to a place in my heart that said, "Okay, Lord, I don't care. It doesn't matter. I'll go, whatever you want to do." And then the next thing was that not so kosher decision that Abraham made. Well, flat out lying sin is what it was. Beginning in verse 10 in chapter 12, there was a famine in the land where God had told him to go, and so Abraham left. First mistake, God never told him to leave. He went down to Egypt to sojourn there. And it came to pass when he was close to entering Egypt that he said to Sarah, his wife, "Indeed, I know that you are a woman of beautiful countenance. And it'll happen when the Egyptians see you that they'll say, 'This is his wife,' they'll take me, kill me, but they'll let you live. So, in order for me to live, say that you're my sister." Now, you're my half-sister, so this is, you know, I'm not really lying here. "And so it'll be well with me, for your sake, that I may live because of you." So when Abraham came to Egypt, the Egyptians saw her, and she was beautiful, and the princes of Pharaoh saw her and said, "Here, go to Pharaoh." So they treated Abraham well because it's their brother. So here, have some gifts, have some things. But the Lord plagued Pharaoh and his house because of Sarah. And Pharaoh called Abraham and said, "Why did you lie to me? Why didn't you tell me she was your wife? Why did you say she was your sister?" And so, here, take her, go, so these plagues can stop. So he has his heathen rebuke him. Now, everybody has a different opinion on this section of Scripture, I have found, depending on who's teaching, whether it's a man, whether it's a woman, or whatever it might be. Is Sarah to be scolded because she submitted to Abraham when Abraham lied, when Abraham deceived, when Abraham did everything that he wasn't supposed to do? Is she to be scolded, or is she to be applauded because she was that submissive wife? I'm not going to answer that. You can think whatever you want and discuss that in your group and let your group leaders. Now, this is the lesson I get from this. Sarah sees Abraham, her husband, her godly husband, who had heard from God to move. She sees him fearing. She sees him not trusting the Lord. She sees him now pull up his family once again out of fear and leave the country that God told him to go to. She sees him, goes with him into Egypt. Then she sees her husband that she loves, this godly man, lie and want her to be a part of a lie to save himself. So she sees him in a very, very weak condition. And yet she stands behind his decision and she says, now, should Sarah have used her influence, her godly influence, with Abraham and turned his eyes on the Lord and his promises? I am a very strong believer in communication in marriage. And I don't see anything wrong with saying, "Honey, do you see what's happening here? The Lord's going to take care of us. He called us to come to the land of Canaan. And I don't think we should leave. Honey, that's a lie. Maybe you should do this, or you've got to trust the Lord. God's going to take care of us." Maybe she said all that. I don't know. Wasn't recorded if she did. But what do I do? What do you do if you see your husband being dishonest in his business dealings, being dishonest in the taxes, doing something that just isn't right, maybe something illegal, maybe lying? What do you do? Now, we know we are commanded by the Lord to submit to our husbands as to the Lord, as is fitting in the Lord, as we would to Jesus. Now, we all know that Jesus wouldn't have us lie, he wouldn't have us steal, he wouldn't have us do anything illegal or false or deceptive. That's why it's important to communicate at a time like that, if our husbands are in a weak state. But all I can say is this, that each wife must listen to the conviction of the Holy Spirit for her marriage, for her situation, for that particular time, and then obey the Lord on that, whatever it might be. Because if you come to me and say, well, my husband's asking me to do this, should I do this? How in the world am I going to know? Maybe the Lord would have you submit as Sarah did, even to the deception, even to the lie, even to the dishonesty there, the poor witness. I don't know. I don't know. I just will encourage you that if you find yourself in that place in your marriage, that at that point in time, you go into your prayer closet and you get on your knees and you ask the Lord, what do I do? What do I do? And you listen to Him. And then if He tells you submit, then you submit. If He tells you to stand, then you stand. Now this next scene, we see Sarah in Genesis 18. This, to me, is everyday submission. Now, well, let's read the first six verses. Then the Lord appeared to Abraham by the terebinth trees, and he was sitting in the tent door in the heat of the day, and he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, three men were standing by him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent door to meet them, and bowed himself to the ground. And he said, my Lord, if I have now found favor in your sight, don't pass from your servant. Please let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. I will bring a morsel of bread that you may refresh your hearts, after that you may pass by, inasmuch as you have come to your servant. And they said, do as you have said. So Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, quickly, make ready three measures of fine meal, knead it, and make cakes. Okay, now you might think, okay, you're really stretching this. If you read the homework, you might have thought, well, they're really stretching this. This is a practical application for us, because it's those everyday things that are probably the ones that give us the most trouble. We may have those big submission things down. We may have the hard ones down. We may know how to do all that. But to live it daily, maybe we're lacking there. That everyday submission, everyday obedience, that everyday yielding. When we hear, honey, I thought you were going to iron my shirt. Honey, I'm busy. Can you run this errand? Can you do this? Can you do that? And in your mind, you're thinking, you're busy. When he says, hi, honey, I'm bringing Fred and Ethel home for dinner. Make it nice. We'll be there in 10 minutes. Or, I made a little mess in the kitchen. Would you clean it up for me? All those little tiny things throughout the day, throughout the weeks, that our husbands can say, that our husbands can ask of us. What is my reaction? What's my heart? Am I submissive? Am I yielding? I may have the big ones down, but what about those everyday things? What's my reaction when he says something like that? Do I lovingly yield and surrender and submit to the requests, whether I'm busy or not, whether I don't want to do this thing or that thing? And, you know, I don't know, for me, on certain things, I'm personally convicted that my husband would even have to ask, why didn't I do it before? That really bugs me when I fail. And it may just be me and whatever the Lord has for me. I'm not saying this about you. But if he has to ask, honey, did you or would you? That just bothers me. Why didn't I do it? I should have done it. It's my job. That's my job. And do I remember that at those times, those little requests, that it's Jesus who I'm submitting to? I mean, if Jesus was there and asked you to iron his shirt, oh my, you'd be like, Peter, oh, I'll iron everything for you, you know? I mean, oh, Lord, what a privilege. What an honor to bring you that cup of coffee, to give you a massage, to bring you the newspaper, whatever it might be. We have to see Jesus behind our husbands. So, with that, I must remember that it is Jesus that I am submitting to first, and that it is Jesus who placed that husband in my life. It's Jesus who placed the authority over me, wherever I may work or wherever in the laws of the land. And it's Jesus who placed those friends, those people in my life to submit to. And if I've forgotten that, then I'm going to have trouble submitting. And then the solution, again, to that is that I would simply humble myself before Him. Just humble myself before Him and get on my knees and say, Lord, I am sorry that I kick and I scream and I want my way. I want Your way. I want to do what You want me to do. Lord, help us to be free from ourselves in this. And Father, I pray for myself and for my sisters who sit before You. And Lord, we know that You have called us as women to be a helpmeet, to be a support. And Lord, You know that we have to battle this flesh. And Lord, You also know that in some of the homes that are represented here, that this is such a battle and such a struggle. And Father, I pray for those of my sisters whose husbands don't know You, who do not honor You. I pray, Father, that they would not see that, but that they would see You, that they would trust You, that they would submit to You, Lord, as they submit to their husbands, in meekness and quietness. So, Lord, without a word, they would win their husbands over to You. Father, for my sisters who are not married, I pray, Father, that You would work this into their hearts, that they would be meek, that they would be humble, Lord, so that if You have a husband down the road for them, that the transition would be an easy one because they're so used to submitting to You. Lord, help each one of us surrender. Yield. Help us to be yielding people. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.